put your first name in the login and come and join us at thegospelradionetwork.org here on Reflections. But every Monday through Friday, every weekday, from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then it is recorded and replayed from 11:30 p.m. to 12:30 a.m. The evening time. And so, but you can join us live right now as we are recording this. And you can give us a call. This is a live, not just a live daily broadcast, but a live call-in radio broadcast. And that is that you can join us by giving us a call at 405-428-2440. Once again, that is 405-428-2440. Please come and join us on Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine. Now, if you're listening to us via WJHF 106.9 FM in the Florence, Alabama area, we're so grateful that you have joined us on that venue, and we certainly want to encourage you to be a part of the program. So you can give us a call, you can join us on the chat window, but it is grateful to have you with us today. Please go by and see our family and friends at the Jackson Heights Church of Christ. Now, I would be amiss in my responsibilities if I did not tell you about the wonderful congregation here at the Nesbitt Church of Christ. We meet at 685 Nesbitt Road here in Nesbitt, Mississippi, every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for our Bible study, 10 a.m., 6 p.m. for our opportunities of worship, and we meet every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Tonight, in fact, we will be meeting at 7 p.m. Brother Andrew Wynn, a second-year student at the Memphis School of Preaching, has the lesson of the hour throughout this quarter, and he will be talking about the wonderful scheme of redemption. And so we have already had one class, and we are looking forward to a second class in regards to this. Well, let's see here. What else do we have on the agenda here? I do want to extend an invitation to you for the 22nd annual Standing in the Gap Lectureship, hosted every year by the Nesbitt congregation. This year, it is January the 27th through the 31st. That's Wednesday through Sunday, January the 27th through the 31st. And the theme this year is Come Now, Let Us Reason, and how important it is for us to learn how to reason together. And it is important, so important, my friends, in a society such as ours, where even those that know how to reason simply do not want to do so because of the subterfuge, the deception, the hypocrisy that we see almost on a hourly basis. It is so consumed in our society today that it's almost unusual to see that which is not presented as hypocrisy and deception and subterfuge, that which is not some kind of conspiracy or espionage behind the scenes. Men certainly, when they leave the presence of God, when they leave God out of their life, when they leave the will of God away from their life and they live their life the way they want to, my friends, it is a sad thing indeed. And we serve in a society, and we need to understand the times, as we mentioned yesterday in regards to this. So it is important, my friends, that we keep our right mind, and that we keep the importance of God and His Word ever before us. I see that Sister Jensen, we're going to certainly keep her in our prayers. I know that several people in South Texas have been without power, and now up in the state of Washington, Sister Jensen says that they're without power and internet due to a major storm last night, And so we hope that they are able to get everything connected. And but we are certainly glad that you have the capability of being with us today. And let's see here. What else do we have? Oh, let me tell you about, listen, if you're familiar with some of these names, they're names from all over the United States, from Florida to California, Texas, all the way to Tennessee. And so Brother Omari French, Jason Rollo, Joshua Rodriguez, Michael Light, Keith Mosier, B.J. Clark, Israel Rodriguez, Tom Waycaster, and Terrence Brownlow Dendy will be joining us during this particular lectureship. And so come now, let us reason together. We should always seek to know the principles of reason. Common sense can no longer, maybe I should say sense, should no longer be called common in our society today. So uncommon sense is something that we ought certainly to possess. Well, my friends, let's see here. Listen, it is always a privilege to be able to study the rich truths of God's Word, to hide them into our hearts, to apply them to our daily lives. You know, it's sad that many people, when they look at the Bible, they see it, they see something that is ancient, they see something that is irrelevant, they see something that is of no, or maybe we should say most people see it as of little value to their daily life. And that is a shame, because not only is this the most practical book that you will ever pick up, it is the most relevant book that you will ever pick up. Now, its main purpose is sometimes overshadows everything else, and that is that people see it as a spiritual book, and it certainly is. It directs us in the spiritual realm, but it also, even more than that, everything that you and I possess, this vessel that we have, the body that we have, is something that is designed to be utilized, and thus this is the most practical book you will ever pick up. So we need to know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we need to know how to possess our vessel, how to utilize our vessel. The relationship between the physical and the spiritual is not as far apart as people would like for us to think. That is, I use this physical body. In fact, I can use this physical body in relationship to the good deeds that I do, directed from the will of God, or I can use that, this body, this vessel, in a manner in which, well, think about this. I can say that this body is designed for my enjoyment. So the eyes may look upon those things that I like, and that I want, and that I want to consume, the lust of concupiscence, or the lust of the eyes in relationship to that. Jesus would say, let me just show you how practical this is in the very beginning, before we even get started with our song and prayer, but the lust of the eyes. Jesus would say that if a man look upon a woman to lust after her, he has committed adultery with her already in his heart. See how practical that is. And to look upon the ideal of pornography, the ideal you don't have to touch a woman in order to commit adultery, that is spiritual or mental, we should say, mental adultery with a particular person. You can even commit mental adultery without a person's permission. This is serious business that Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about the mindset of a man, and in order to keep his mind pure, he has to keep his eyes focused on the right thing. So the lust of the eyes is that which I look at that I like and that are forbidden for me to like. Then there's the lust of the flesh, that which makes me feel good. You see, ooh, that feels good, that looks good, and so I'm going to engage in that, even if it is a self-destructive aspect in the life. Drugs, for example. Oh, doesn't it? Listen, if drugs and alcohol, if it did not make us feel better in the initial sense, if it did not feel good when we were engaging in it, we wouldn't go there. Now, I know that the ramifications afterwards, the proverb writer in Proverbs chapter 20 talks about waking up with bruises and burdens that you did not know how you got. I understand the aftermath. I'm talking about the activity in the present time frame of I'm engaging in alcohol. It's making me feel good. By the way, in some sense, it's just the pride of life. It makes me look good, you see, among my peers. My peers are drinking. My peers are doing drugs. And so I want them to like me. So, yeah, give me something to drink. Give me something to ingest, because I want, in so many places, I've heard individuals say, well, listen, my job requires me. I'm a salesman of a major company, and so if I want to sell things among this major company, then I've got to buy them alcohol. I've got to engage in alcoholic drinking with them. All of those things that's the pride of life, you see. That's those things that make me look good. And so it is extremely important that we understand sound reasoning and the fact that God establishes the great principles of sound reasoning. Come now, let us reason together. Listen, this isn't anything compared to what you're going to get at the lectures, the Standing in the Gap lectures, January the 27th through the 31st. Just a hint. You're going to want to be there. So come and join us in regards to the lectureship here in Nesbitt, Mississippi. We're already gone. We was getting a phone call. Sometimes you get those phone calls that you know and some that you do not, but they are already gone from us. But what a privilege it is, my friends, to be able to study the rich truths of God's Word for us today. And let's see here. I can't think of anything else on our agenda, so what I want to do is I want to have a word of prayer with you, and then we will get with our song. After the song, we will pick up with our Bible study on the burdens of life. Listen, it is the fate of every man to have burdens. There is no doubt about that. You don't need the Bible to tell you that you have burdens, although the Bible does clearly indicate that we do. But the wicked conspiracies of men and the espionage of behind the scenes are all things that make the burdens of life even more difficult to bear. But we bear them nonetheless because we serve a God who is greater than all of the burdens of life. My friends, we should not be ashamed to talk about spiritual things, to talk about God, to talk about Jesus, to talk about the church in a public format. Now, some people are very skittish about this, about bringing the Bible into a conversation. But is there what else? I could say, Mahatma Gandhi said, or Augustine said, or whoever said, but their words carry less power than do the words of the Bible. And so maybe we should be less proactive in regards to the presentation of truth. Pray with me, please. Our mighty God and Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can come into Thy presence, and we realize we do not deserve to be here, but only because of Thy grace in sending Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Because we were without strength, we were without any kind of power to approach Thee without His blood. We're thankful that You would gracious us with that wonderful gift of Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the power of the cross, the drawing power that it has toward salvation and toward Thee. We pray that all men might come to know Thee, that they might come to know Thy Son, Jesus Christ, and His sacrifice for us upon the cross, that they might be able to understand the vicarious nature of it, that they might understand how vicious it was when He endured it, and that they might understand the victory that we have over the burdens and sins of life because of it. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for our society at this time, as it is undergoing a serious transition here, and we pray that Thou might destroy our enemies before us, that all of the wicked philosophies patterns of life might be destroyed, that the influence of the gospel might be seen as mighty and powerful and influential in the lives of others. Be with us as we carry out Thy marching orders to go into all the world and teach and preach the gospel. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Who's that walking down the road carrying such a heavy load? Sinner, lay your burden down. You're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said He'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Ain't no people crying there. Ain't no sadness anywhere. Ain't no need to shed a tear. You're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said He'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Young folks walking hand in hand, singing with the angel band. Old folks ain't so tired and worn, they're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said He'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
All right, my friends, good to be back with you, and what a beautiful song. I love that song. It reminds us of purpose. It reminds us of direction. It reminds us of our objective and proposition. The very proposition of life surrounds Jesus Christ and the fact that you and I are blessed in this life beyond even our capability of understanding those things. So if you have your Bibles with you today, and we're going to spend a great deal more time in Bible principles today than we have over the last couple of days, where we've talked about different things in regards to conspiracy, the conspiracy to silence. That is, in greater terms, the Psalm 2, the conspiracy to silence the Son of God, is not a new item. But we've made application of the fact that wickedness always seeks to silence the truth. And they don't want to hear it. They don't want people to have the option of truth, because that exposes their conspiracies and it exposes their lies. And the truth always does that. There is this great discussion in the Word of God between light and darkness. And light is always associated with the truth and the things of truth, and darkness is always associated with the things of error, the things of wickedness, and things such as that. The devil was a liar from the beginning. In Genesis chapter 3, we find the first story of the relationship as it began between man and the devil. And man did not come out favorable in that investment. And the Bible, as a history book. Now, it doesn't record all history. There is a particular item in regards to, and it's the history of redemption. That's the primary focus of the Bible. We should never lose sight of that. But entwined in all of that are the beautiful principles and commands on how to live, the practicality of life. You see, the Bible doesn't just deal with the theological aspect of life. It deals with the practical items of life as well. In fact, if you will notice, as you're reading along the letters of the Apostle Paul, he is very specific in doing this. He will deal with the theology of the congregation that he's writing to. For example, the book of Romans, written to the Roman congregation, right smack dab in the center of the entire world at that time. And here's Paul writing to his brethren, and for the first 11 chapters, it is the theology of the power of God's Word. Then, in chapter 12, he makes a transition to how to put that theology into practice in your everyday life. He talks about how to do it with the brethren, how to do it with those that are outside the world, how to do it with your government, and so forth. All of those things are wrapped up in the Bible. And that's just one example. But now, to further demonstrate this in regards to our topic today, I want to turn your attention to Galatians chapter 6. And in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 and verse 5, and then I want us to notice Psalm 55 and verse number 22. Now you might be saying, well, what do all these things have in common? They all have in common the burdens of life. That it is the fate of every man everywhere, or all men everywhere, to have burdens in this life. Notice Galatians 6 and verse number 5 beginning. For every man shall bear his own burden. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2. It says that bear ye one another's burdens. And then in Psalm 55 and verse number 22, cast thy burdens upon the Lord. Now some would suggest, well, which is it? There seems to be a contradiction here in this sense. Well, there is no contradiction, and I will show that as we get on down into our discussion. But some would say, well, are we to bear our own, and or are we to share the burdens of life? Do we bear it? Do we get other people to help us? Or do we just cast all of our cares and burdens upon the Lord? Well, that is an excellent question, my friends. But it is the fate of every man to bear the burdens in life. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and notice with me verse number 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened not for that which we are unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. When you're in this tabernacle, this vessel, as he calls it in 1 Thessalonians, the body, you see, you and I are not the flesh. We are encased in flesh. This flesh, as you and I both know very well, will die. But God is not the God of the dead, Matthew chapter 22. He is not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. So even after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were dead, he could say, I am, present tense, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm not the past tense God of those people who lived in the flesh and then died, and they're dead like Rover. They're dead all over. No, there is a place. There is a place. Listen, this is so important that we understand this aspect of life. So many people have a dead concept of life. That the only thing that exists is right in the here and now. And that humanistic view of life has permeated our society to such an extent that we don't even like to talk about. It's never even brought up in the conversation about God unless we say God's name in vain. Or we say that only in some kind of passing as to a slight recognition that there is a higher being, but I don't want to get into a real discussion of that. Isn't it amazing? It is to me that people know so much about football. I mean, they can tell you if you know Alabama won the national championship, and they can tell you every play that Alabama ran. They can have entire programs in discussion beforehand, during, and after on everything about why Alabama won, why Ohio State lost, and all of that. And they can analyze every single detail of that and programs, and we'll watch that. They can tell you every player that has ever won the Heisman from their favorite school, every player that has ever won a particular award or that has done some great deed in regards to life itself. They know every player that went from their favorite college and high school into the pros. And this is true whether or not you're talking about football, basketball, Major League Baseball, or so forth. You talk about hockey with some people. It doesn't matter. People have their favorites, and they will discuss that all day long. But bring up the name of Jesus. Bring up the name, bring up God. Bring up any biblical principle, and they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. See, people don't know anything, so they don't want to discuss that. Listen, I have some great friends, some wonderful friends that are University of Texas football fans, and I pray for them. Those that are the University of Texas A&M, and I pray real heavy for them. Or those that are Oklahoma State. I have people in my family that like Oklahoma State. It's hard to say, but I do. And as an OU fan, that's the University of Oklahoma, I have a lot of friends that are not. We can discuss all day long about, I've got some details in my phone, and I try to keep some in my head on, but you know, we can do that all day long without any kind of enemy going on. But you know what? We can't do that about God. We can't do that about Jesus Christ. We can discuss politics and things that are going on in the political realm hours and hours and hours every single day. Drive you mad if you listen to them 24/7. 365 days a week. It will drive you mad to listen to all of the commentary that is out there. And yet, And I'm talking to us now. I realize that there are some who are not members of the body of Christ who listen to our program, but I'm primarily talking to us now. Why should we be ashamed? Why should we be ashamed? Listen, I'm helping you bear your burdens because of what the Bible tells me to do. I love my God, and He has blessed me with burden bearing. But I'm also, listen, I'm not going to bear that burden. I can't bear that burden for you because it is your burden to bear, not mine. I can't help you in some things. You know, several years ago, I think it was Ripley, Ripley, believe it or not, used to be a prime program, and they listed Galatians 6:2 and Galatians 6:5 as contradictory scriptures. See, here's the problem. People don't pay attention to details. You know, there's a lot that has to happen for something to be contradictory. If I say that Ronald Reagan is the president of the United States, and then I say George Bush Sr., and then I say Donald Trump is the president of the United States, and then I say Joe Biden is the president of the United States, are those contradictory statements? Well, it depends on a lot of things, right? It depends, number one, on when I said it. It depends, number two, on what I mean when I say it. It depends upon the actual words that I utilize in regards to that. That is, all of these men have been and are described as presidents of the United States. Some of them will be introduced today as former president, right? But they, if you're writing a biography of Ronald Reagan, you might not put former president, even though it's 2021. You might just say president of the United States. Ronald Reagan, president of the United States. Well, that's the title of the biography. It came out in 2021. Is that true? Well, it's not true in the sense of 2021. But that's not the point of the statement on the biography or on the title of the biography. You do have to have a whole lot. So we have to examine, when were these things? About what are they talking about? Number one, we're dealing with multiple languages here in Galatians 6:2 and 6:5. So we have actually a translation from Greek to English. So the same English word is chosen, but is it the same Greek word? Bam! Now we've got a discussion, don't we? People, listen, if people think, if people reason, if people give discussion some time, they might understand some of these things. In fact, they are not contradictory, and let me show you why real quick. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2, which says, "Bear ye one another's burdens," is from a different Greek word, the original language, a different word altogether from the word that's used in 6:5. The one in chapter 6 and verse number 2 carries with it the idea of a load. I mean, a heavy load. It is a burden. It's a load, it's a difficulty, it's some sorrow or pain, and in that sense, we are to help bear, in this case, we are to help bear someone else's load. It's a heavy load, they can't bear it themselves, but it's something that we can help with. But in chapter 6 and verse number 5, when it says, "Every man shall bear his own burden," this is an interesting word here. It's a word that simply could have been translated as pack, like a backpack, not like a school backpack, more like an army backpack. And in the military, each man is given a load to bury. Now, some of those loads may be up to 70 or 80 pounds. in regard to, and every man has to bear his own pack. You can't march in a military march and then expect everybody else to carry different parts of your pack. You are responsible. That's the whole point of the military system, is that you have to bear your own pack. Now, there are heavy loads, and you'll see this with SEAL Team 6 in their those programs where they're showing how individuals become SEAL Team 6. They gather a team together, and that team is responsible, or those men are responsible to work as a team. They will carry a log or a pole, and every man is responsible to bear his part. They're bearing the load together. That's what we're talking about when we talk about 6-2. The heavy load that one man cannot bear, all the team must bear together. But there are some things that each person on the team must bear himself. That's the difference between 2 and 5. And then, my friends, let me suggest this to you. There are some burdens of life that you and I simply cannot bear. We are without strength. Now, this would lead some people to say, well, Christians are weak. No, Christians are no weaker than anybody else. We just understand our weakness. And as anybody in the military will tell you, or anybody in sports will tell you, if you want a great team, you have to understand the weakness of the men that are on your team. There is not a single man alive that does not have a weakness. Now, some men have less weaknesses than others. I have a whole lot of weaknesses in comparison to some men. But that's just the way it is in life. But the Bible teaches us the distribution of the burdens of life. That there are some that I must bear, that there are some that others can help me bear, and then there are some that only God can help me to bear. And so let's talk about the proportion here, because this is important too, because the burdens of life are made more difficult when I'm bearing the burdens of someone else. You see, and that's what conspiracies and that's what espionage and all of that junk does behind the scenes with politics. See, politics is nothing more but the way in which men choose to govern themselves. Politics is not necessarily a bad word. God chose a political system in the Old Testament to govern his people, a theocracy. And he chose that as the main means. In the New Testament church, I'm not talking about America here, but in the New Testament church, we have a governing system. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the blessed and only potentate. He is preeminent. He is the head of the church. And so as such, his will remains the final say on everything and anything. Now, are there expedient matters? Are there matters of opinion? Yes. But in relationship to the kingdom of God, the commandments of Christ and his apostles, they're the ambassadors of Christ. Don't misuse that phrase, my friends. We are not all ambassadors. That's silliness. We're citizens. But there are some who were ambassadors. The 12 apostles take out the one who betrayed him and add in Matthias and then add the apostle Paul to that. And you have the apostles of Christ, the ambassadors, the official, that's what an ambassador is. The definition defines that it cannot be all of us. Not everybody in the United States is an official representative of the American government or the United States government. And not everyone in the citizenship of the church is an ambassador, an official representative of heaven's government. Only the apostles and prophets, as they unfolded the Word of God to us. Now then, we have the will of God. Just like, listen, I don't need to have another Thomas Jefferson here today. I don't need to have another John Adams or George Washington with us today. We have the Constitution of the United States. You see, it is an official document that governs. Whether we like it or not, whether or not we utilize it properly or not, is not the issue. But it is the official governance of the United States government and its citizenry. And again, the Bible is the same thing for us today. It governs the spiritual relationship between man and God. It governs the relationship between man and man. It governs the relationship between man and his employer, or as an employee over his employers, or over his employee, excuse me. And it governs how government can govern. You know, we act sometimes as if the Bible doesn't say anything about how government is to govern, but that's not true. 1 Peter chapter 3, Romans chapter 13, Acts chapter 24 and verse number 25, and multiple other passages throughout the entirety of the Bible talk about the responsibility of how people in government are to treat and act. And they are to act in such a way for benefit. They are the servants of. We recognize that. But now they have become the masters over rather than the servants of the people. And that phrase, we the people, is no longer a phrase that counts for anything at all. And it's a sad thing, but God tells them how to govern. We would do well to spend a little bit more time in our Bible asking our God for the deep resources of His Word on how men should be governed. See, sometimes we forget about that as well. But see, there are some burdens in life that are simply, they're not transferable. You can't transfer one to another. The Lord has given every man His own work. You know, there's an interesting statement that Jesus makes in Mark chapter 13 and verse number 34. And Mark chapter 13 and verse number 34, notice what Jesus says. He says, "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his own work. And he commanded the porter to watch." But did you catch it? Jesus gave every man his own work. And a man, once he is the steward, and that's what Jesus has just said, he has given a man a work. He has thus become a steward of something. That man must be found faithful over the things that he has been made steward of. We realize this. You put your money in the bank, you're asking the banker to be a steward over your funds. Now, if he mishandles that, then he has broken trust with you. He may break that in the sense of breaking not just the trust, but breaking the legal binding that exists between you and him. Thus, he can be held accountable legally. Sometimes it's just morally that they mishandle things. Most moral aspects of the handling of money are talked about in our own legal system. But Jesus gave responsibilities to men. Notice what is said in Ephesians chapter 3, or 4, excuse me, Ephesians chapter 4 in verse number 11. And he gave some. Did you notice there that he gave men authority over? He gave his. Now, he didn't give the same authority to all of his servants. Some servants he gave more authority to. So notice here, he gave some apostles. That is, he gave some an apostleship. He gave some the burden, or what we might say here, the gift of apostleship, authority. He gave some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, those are not the only gifts that were distributed, but what I want you to notice here is that these are gifts that pertain unto authority in some form or fashion. Now, I cannot take the burden and the gift of apostleship upon myself. That's not a burden that I can bear. By the way, think about this. No one can believe in God for you. No one can be baptized, Mormons' action or not, no one can be baptized for you. No one can confess your sins for you. Nobody can perform your Christian duties. Those belong to you. Nobody can answer. When you stand before the judgment bar at the end of time, nobody's going to be able to answer for you. That's every man shall give an account of his own life when he stands before God. Romans 14, verse number 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse number 10. Nobody can get, by the way, there's not a single person, you're not going to be able to hide at the judgment day either. I wish we had time for that, but we simply don't. But what I wanted to suggest to you right off the very outset in our lesson is that there are the burdens of life that belong to you and you only. And it's important that we understand the dichotomy. These are mine. I must do them. I have responsibilities that only I can fulfill in the kingdom of God, that only that I can fulfill in the community in which I live. That's my responsibility. And so bear your own burdens. But also, we're to bear the burdens of, you know, there are some burdens that you can share with others. Notice with me, if you will, in the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians chapter 2, notice with me verse number 4. He says, look not every man on the things, or look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Now, he's not asking you to be a busybody. He's not asking you to jump into the life of every man to seek to control it. He's not asking you to just butt into other people's business. That's not what he is asking here. What he is asking here is to be concerned about others. You know, it's interesting. I made note in regards to I started a Facebook, not a Facebook, but a MeWe profile, and I have some items on there, and one of them is called Coffee and Conversation, and obviously I'll never be able to find it now that I'm looking for it, but in that Coffee and Conversation, one of the things that I made mention of was the fact that it is important that we learn to bear other people's burdens based upon the lesson today. But one of the things that I mentioned was there are three things that are vitally important in this: observation, alertness, and a genuine care and concern for others. Those are the keys to develop the principles of burden bearing in your life. And so if I want to help other other people. Yes, I have to have a genuine. There are some people that do not. This is why I'm not a big fan of the idea of espionage, of spying on people. Especially, I'm not talking about my enemy now, but even that I have to be careful of. I don't know the heart and the motivation of all men in everything that they do, and so I can misunderstand something that is being done. So I have to be very careful in any kind of espionage. But I'm not talking about our enemies. I'm talking about on our own people. As Christians, our love for one another demands that we act in such a way that we believe all things. I believe that people do have the Christians, my brethren, have my best interest at heart. Up until they show me otherwise, I believe that. So, number one, I need to have this genuine care and concern. You see that with regards to one of the closest associates of the Apostle Paul in Timothy, where he says, I'm going to send you to Philippi because I have no one else who will genuinely or naturally be concerned for your welfare, Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 19 and 20. Timothy, he knew, was a brother that was genuine in his care and concern. Now, with that, some people still say, well, I didn't notice that. I didn't see that. Could it be that your powers of observation are not as alert toward people? How is it that some people can pass by trash? You're in a building, you're in a house, you're somewhere, and you can pass right by trash as if you didn't ever see it. Your antennas of alertness did not go off. How is it that you can pass by a widow and not see? Because we were not alert. Now listen, I'm not saying I'm the best at this. I will tell you that I married my spouse, Miss Mona, is maybe the best at this I've ever seen. You talking about alertness, her powers of observation in regards to people are bar none. And I'm just saying, and she didn't like me to talk about this, but that's fine and dandy. I have someone with resources that has the power of observation and alertness that I can learn from. And if I observe, I can learn how to be alert in regards to what others need. But it does begin with that genuine care and concern, my friends. And so there are burdens that individuals bear that we can help with, for example, that they have the responsibility, they have the primary burden-bearing responsibility that I can help with. For example, let me just use one. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. And in Hebrews chapter 13, now elders have a specific responsibility in the church. They look out for individual souls. They have a serious responsibility. But I want you to notice how the writer of Hebrews, he says in Hebrews 13, verse number 17, he says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. That's their burden. But notice that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So if I am an obstinate, always bucking the system, never going along the leadership, then I can be a serious hindrance to their burden that they are carrying at that particular time. But I must close with this, that is that there are some burdens that no man can help you with. The burden of the forgiveness of sins, this is where all men are equally weak. There's not a single man. I don't care how masculine he may be. There's a discussion about the masculinity of presidents here lately, and I don't care how masculine people are. I don't care what kind of machoism they got. I don't care what they've accomplished in their life. They are weak in that they have sinned. And the Bible would tell us that we are without strength. We're weak in regards to sin. And we have fallen short of the glory of God. And so in relationship to that, you are without strength. You can't do anything about it. Now, you might think, well, yeah, I can change my life. Yes, you can, but that sin is still there. You can stop everything that is contrary to the will of God, my friends, but you cannot amend for the transgression against God. You violated His will. Oh, this is where people don't like to talk Christianity. This is where the rubber meets the road, my friends. This is where we get ashamed and I don't want to talk about the forgiveness of sins. I don't want to talk about redemption. I don't want to talk about the need that I have for Jesus Christ and that I must obey His will in order to receive. No, but it's true whether or not we believe it or not. So, my friends, there are some burdens that only you can bear by yourself. There are some burdens that you can help other people bear or that you can get people to help you bear. And then there are some that no man can bear, but Jesus bore them on the cross. May God bless your day, and may He enrich and edify this word toward all men. God bless.